out as singles and duos to get work and to expand on their musical bed. So we're going to talk tonight about their shows coming up at Classic Car Cruise Nights. We're going to talk about their respective new CDs, and we're going to talk about the resurgence of singer-songwriters. It's all happening after your headlines here. Good evening, boys and girls, moms and dads. I'm Tom Lounges. It's time for Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming wherever you may be at lakeshorepublicradio.org. This program is all about music and the people who make it. Tonight, we're going to be making music live in the studio. Jose is MIA. He's off playing somewhere, and we've got Sharon Jackson on the board. Hi, Sharon. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You get stuck doing news all the time. Tonight, you get to rock and roll a little bit. You feeling it?
I know. I actually get to have a little fun. It's about time.
All right. Hey, I want to remind everybody, driving in today, I heard Sharon and Tom Maloney talking about pledging. And remember, if you want to keep the music coming here on Lakeshore, give them a call. Get online. Pledge something. Support us so we can keep bringing great local talent like the two guys I've got here tonight, James Guetta and Frank Rivoli. Both frequent guests on the show, but never together. This is great, guys.
Never together.
Never. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Now, you both have been on the show before. You both know each other.
Yeah.
I don't know how this has not happened before.
You know, a lot of musicians around these parts.
Yeah.
A lot of good talent.
Yeah.
So... Do you know each other? Are you fans of each other? How does this acoustic local scene work? I mean, is there rivalry? Is there companionship? I mean, is there support systems? How does it work? Because we see a lot of bands that are rivals, and we always hear about the battles going on, and you know, I want this gig, no, you can't have that gig. But it seems to me like you guys are getting along great in the green room over there, and I've seen you with Jack Whittle and all these other guys, Chad Clifford, and everybody that's out there, and everyone seems to get along really well.
I think for solo guys, we don't quite have the money or the egos to start fighting each other and picking on each other. You know, it's they run into each other a lot of open mics and things like that. That's almost certainly where Frank and I met, probably at Nick Cazonis' old White Rhino open mic.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and it's just, I'm always surprised by the amount of talent around here, and anytime I find somebody new who's like really good that I hadn't heard of, you know.
Yeah, I honestly think everybody in the area is supportive of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't ran into, I mean, if there is, I think they're not one of the frequent players that we're always around with. Because, I mean, it's a huge group of friends, really, what we've become.
Yeah.
And I think the open mics, as much as, I don't know, some people might get rid of them at the restaurants and things like that. Once in a while, they change locations. But I think open mics are one of the most important things because,
definitely,
number one, that's where I got my feet wet when I said, hey, I want to perform
music.
Mm-hmm. And number two, that's where I met, you know, like Brian Mundy. That's how him and I met, and he's my duo partner that I play with as much as possible. So, and then like same thing, he just came out with his new music video, and Stefan, I mean, played the fiddle, and I mean, I'm sure you met him at an open mic.
Yeah, just Fresh Hops Jam Night at Finnegan's. Yeah,
so
a staple.
Huge. And I mean, to speak of rivalry, I don't think there's a rivalry, but what I do think is cool, and it reminds me of reading stories of all the greats, you know, like the Beatles and all that stuff. If I hear him write a good song, I want to write a better one.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's not a rivalry, but it's like, man, that's
it's
a really good song.
Yeah,
I want to write a good one too.
Creative jealousy definitely happens. And sometimes I'll learn my friend's songs just to get a rise out of them. Like that happened a couple times with our departed friend Scott Larson, who is a great songwriter and kind of a key center point of the music scene around here. And just
he was
recently,
like the elder statesman for you guys,
yeah,
wasn't
definitely.
He? I mean, because he's been was around for a long time.
Yeah.
And then a whole new generation of singer-songwriter acoustic players came up.
Yeah.
And he seemed to be the magnet, if you will.
He definitely made you feel welcome. Yeah.
He's been going almost a year?
Over a year.
Over a year
since July. Yeah.
So I met you, James, when you came out with Jack Whittle at the Record Bin.
Yes.
You guys were part of our open mic there.
Yeah. Just it's a great way to make contacts, for sure. Yeah, I was coming out with my first CD at the time last year, and I was talking to Nick Cazonis, who we mentioned, another elder statesman, another good friend of ours. And he said, okay, you need to get to know Tom Lounges, because Tom Lounges will help promote you and he'll help get you, more Nick. Opportunities. And that's how it's been. You know, mm-hmm. I never leave the record bin without some sort of a gig.
So. That's true. That's true. We're going to have to get those going again as soon as this COVID thing at least subsides a little bit more.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go indoors yet. So in the meantime, we're doing the busking thing.
That was
fun. You busked last. Where did that term come from? You guys, you don't know?
Maybe it's an anagram for something. I'm not sure. But yeah.
I always wonder.
I say bust and people never know
right.
what I mean.
It's street performing people. Yeah. Those of you that don't know what busking is, it's the street players that are in the subways and on the street corners and they have their guitar cases out. And when you see that, you are supposed to throw money in there.
Yes.
Just to educate those that might not wonder what those cases. Oh, they forgot to close their case.
Yeah. I think that's a lost art, though, because the more that the and we're not that old. You and I are the same age. I don't say we're that old, but the younger generation that's
under Frank, it hurts me that we're the same age. Look at you and look at me.
He's such a pretty boy, isn't he?
This guy with the jokes. But I think the younger generation, they're more, at least 5 years. We were coming up during the EDM scene, mm-hmm. too, when that was getting huge. So a lot of people moved to how can we create music on the computer, which is great. I mean, there's a lot of good music that's created. But that then changed the fact of being able to grab your guitar, go sit on the corner and play.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're bringing your computer, you're bringing speakers, and people really just didn't do that.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of gone, especially in the cities, because that's where I think it's the biggest was the biggest.
You sometimes see interesting like busking examples from like big cities like New York or Chicago or something like that on like Twitter and Instagram. Sometimes you'll see something get shared around a bunch, but at that point it has to be something like really unique, like a guy with a tuba and a guy with like a keyboard or something like that. You know?
I see a lot of saxophone players.
Yeah.
More than guitar players, which really surprises me. You see the lone guy out there with the saxophone and his case open, and usually I throw a lot of money at him because I love saxophone.
Yeah. Plus you don't have to remember any words. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. You guys, like everybody, in Northwest Indiana especially, I mean, there are markets where original music is just all they want to hear, and we're going to talk about a few places that support that. But in general, Northwest Indiana has always been sort of a covers area. But we are seeing more and more original music appreciated. But that said, what is the typical balance of a show versus covers and originals? Because you both write amazing songs. And let's say you got an hour performance. You know, gosh, I got like 5 hours of my own music, but I got to play half covers. How frustrating is that? And how do you choose what to do? And can you get away with slipping in more?
It depends, I think, on the venue, and it depends on the night, and it depends on the people that are there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within a song or two, you kind of get a feel for how the room's doing. And, you know, if I got enough people that I can have a conversation with, the back and forth, you know, that are engaging with the music and enjoying it and giving me a good response, then I know it's like, okay, I'm personally winning them over, like not just musically, so I can sneak in some more of my stuff. Generally, I do shoot for about half and half. I've been trying to focus on more original stuff lately because I figure, you know, okay, if it's time for an up-tempo number, I might as well play one I wrote versus, you know, playing Wagon Wheel again.
Yeah, I'd say the same. I mean, it really all depends on the crowd, but I mean, typically I try to do either I try to get one in there at least every five songs. Like if I'm doing a 3 hour set, try to get at least one in every five songs. And then if things are just going well, I'll just finish the last hour with mostly originals. I'll even preface, because somebody told me this in the crowd once. They're like, "Oh, that was an original." They're like, "We just picked up the last part because we thought you were going to play a cover."
I always tell people, don't say it's an original until after. Because you'll see them liking it, and if you say it's original, they'll tune out.
Yeah.
One person told me, they said, "We wish you would have said that was an original because we would have paid attention even more." So like, because it was good, but we just had no idea that you wrote that. And she's like, "Now I'm interested in what the words were." Yeah. I'm like, "Well, that makes sense."
Well, let me sell you this CD then.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the words, you can hear it a bunch.
I'll even sign it. Yeah. Who wants to play a song? Let's play original.
After you, my friend.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. You would throw it on me.
Now you got, what, two albums out now?
Two EPs, actually. So,
two EPs.
We're coming out in October. Brian and I did a live acoustic session at Nick Kazonis' place, Region Buzz 219.
Great place.
So we did five original songs, audio, but he also videoed us from three different angles. So it's going to be a five. You get the audio and DVD
Oh, so wow. Like an MP4 and an MP3 kind of file?
Yeah, and I'm actually trying to, Mundy and I are trying to get together here because I wanted to release it by the end of next month to do almost like an interview style video in between the songs.
Okay.
So the DVD is actually just not five songs. It could be, you know, about 45 minutes to an hour DVD with us, how we met, what we do, our, you know.
Maybe a little about what the song coming up is about.
Okay. Us making fun of ourselves because we're two just clowns anyway. Yeah.
So is this one of those songs you're going to play?
No.
Oh.
This is actually.
He leads me up, gets me excited. Now I'm going to play one that I played 12 years ago.
No, this is actually new. This is from this year. But so when you when I was on last time, for those of you listening, Tom said, hey, you got any new songs coming up or writing anything new? I said, yeah, I got a bunch. And he said, oh, play one. And I couldn't think of one to play.
That's right.
Because I blanked. So I came
a little more prepared.
I brought my iPad with my song. So this one's called Same Song and Dance. And I can't wait to record this one. But this is just about when you feel like you're just doing the same thing over and over with a certain person and you're just getting nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's the same song and dance. You know what I mean.
That's a good hook.
Yeah. Thanks, man. So same song and dance. Give you what you want and you take what you need. You're never satisfied till you got everything. Not living in a dream, but for some reason you can't see. The grass on the other side ain't always green. It was just you and me, but now it all seems to be. Forever is a measure, something we can't keep off. And now I know the meaning of the words you said. That comfort is a problem and you're not happy inside your head. And it might just be me, but it all seems to be the same song and dance. Yeah, we take it day by day, whether you're happy or afraid. But I always assumed that things would be okay. I thought our hearts had grown into something that would stay. But now I'm seeing that it's something we learned to display. And now I find my mind crazy and drifting away. Looking in the past for answers like I'm on replay. And now I know the meaning of the words you said. That comfort is a problem and you're not happy inside your head. And it might just be me, but it all seems to be the same song and dance, yeah, oh. And maybe we'll love again. And maybe we'll get past all of this. And maybe we'll see that it was all James all meant to be. Had to give you a shout out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And now I know the meaning of the words you said. That comfort is a problem and you're not happy inside your head. And it might just be me, but it all seems to be the same song and dance.
All right, Frank Rivoli, live on the Lakeshore, Midwest Beat Program. I'm Tom Lounges. James Gett also in the house with us.
Hello.
And we're going to hear something from him in just a bit. Let's talk about the changing face of Northwest Indiana. As I mentioned, just a few years ago, it was all about cover songs. Mm-hmm. You had to play Brown Eyed Girl. You had to play this song or that song. Now we're seeing more and more people coming out with their original music, and thank goodness it's good music, because we do, as you said, have a lot of great talent here. Nothing worse than trying to smile and be polite when someone's song just made you want to run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But, and there are a few of those folks out there, but not too many. We do have some great
and we're
going to
name them all right now. Let me tell you something about Jack Whittle.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Just kidding, Jack. Love you, buddy.
But we're seeing this. We're seeing the audiences here start to absorb a little more. We had Robert Rolf Feddersen in the studio last week, and Robert and I have known each other a number of years. And he told me, and we talked about this on the air. He told me a number of years ago when the craft brewery thing was just starting up, and he said, "I'm not playing clubs anymore. And I said, well, you're doing the coffee house scene, right? He goes, no, coffee house is not even as hip as it used to be. He goes, the craft beer places. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, because the people that go to craft beer places are unique. They have their own taste. They make their mind up what they want. It's not about what the public wants, mm-hmm. per se. They're not sheep. Mm-hmm. And he says, they go in there and they buy the beer they want. And they want to hear music that's fresh and music that they want. So they're not going in there to hear the same cover songs or maybe to pick up girls or whatever the bar scene was.
Yeah.
They're going there because they appreciate beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have a passion for the beer and the brewing process. And we're seeing more and more of that come up. And more of the venues are putting acoustic players in. And 90% of those are original because the people there are asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared that with a lot of young players over the last 2 years since Robert told me that. And I told him, I said, you know, I've told a lot of people, go to the brewery place. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be taking your gigs from you by giving other people. He goes, no, there's room for all of us.
Yeah.
But it's unique. Do you think that is a big part of why original music is catching fire again?
I think that's actually a great point by Robert.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I mean, it's 100% true. And basically what you just said, I mean, people who go to breweries, like you said, have their own taste, but they enjoy the artistic piece of the brewers, right? So mm-hmm. they enjoy the fact that they come up with their own taste and then they name it something cool, you know, whatever their theme is.
Right. Yeah.
And it just all adds up. And then the breweries are selling their own merchandise and stickers and cool things like that. And then it all ties in with music.
More open to new experiences versus just the same old, like, Miller Lite.
Yeah, right. Very, you know, a unique experience, right?
Yeah. I mean,
It's like Northwest Indiana is getting more eclectic. They are more sophisticated. They want something more original, and that kind of feeds onto itself. And the more they get, the more they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, Sharon, you live in Chicago.
Right. Yes.
You come here to work every day, so you're very familiar with the Indiana scene. You're very familiar with the Chicago scene.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a drastic difference, or did you, and are we merging it now?
It seems like it's merging now.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think it's merging now. Definitely, especially with the, you know, the Valpo scene, the big restaurant scene that's mm-hmm. upcoming out there, and just everything just seems like it's just this momentum. There's just so much more here, much more original.
The bands don't have to go to the city anymore. I remember years ago when I was on that other station, Nomad Planets, one of the guys made a reference, says, you know, we want to play our original music. That's what we do. We cut albums. We do this. And they said, so we play most of our shows in Chicago. Because they appreciate that more than here. Here is hard to get a gig. This was years back. Now they're playing out here a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing more and more people. So I think they were a little ahead of the curve in calling that. But all the bar owners were like, play something, you know, we want it. I always fall back on Brown Eyed Girl because it seems like every band plays that song.
One of these days, Tom, I'm going to play Brown Eyed Girl for you.
It'll be the last time we talk.
I always play it. I actually just played a wedding. Well, it's because my aunt loves that song.
Yeah.
So she
at a wedding.
Yeah.
And then I did the ceremony, but they're like, the wedding planner was like, hey, play some songs while everybody's sitting around because mm-hmm. we were running just a couple minutes behind. So I played like, No, I didn't. I played like What a Wonderful World and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then
that's still a song I love.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's a beautiful song. And then I'm like, yeah, I got any requests? I'm like, it looks like we still got about 5 more minutes. And one lady goes, yeah, Brown Eyed Girl, or Van Morrison. I was like, Brown Eyed Girl? She goes, oh, yeah. I'm like, all right.
Wow. Wow. So who are your primary influences? I mean, you're both still fairly young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, compared to me.
I thought you were our age, too.
I just look good. but when you were growing up, I mean, taking to guitar, your sounds are completely different. We're going to hear James in a minute. But your sounds are completely different. So let's start with you, Frank, since you sang first. Who are some of the people that you migrated to as a young player?
Yeah, so when I first started playing, that was in college after I got done with baseball. So I was a big Chris Daughtry fan.
Okay.
And so I started learning his songs. And then I had fallen into, when I tried to start doing songwriting, I became a big fan of the Beatles, Bob Dylan. I mean, not that I didn't like their music prior to,
right.
but even more appreciation. And then I fell on to Dave Matthews, who I think is now my biggest influence. And from his songwriting to his guitar playing, that's by far my biggest influence.
Okay.
So,
James, we're going to have you play here in just a second after you tell us who mostly inspired you.
It's changed over the years, certainly. When I first started singing, it was a lot of Johnny Cash because I didn't realize you could transpose songs to different keys. So, mm-hmm. and my voice was all the low end back then. So I thought, well, I can only sing low songs. So I love Johnny Cash songs. So that was all I would do. Then, you know, I started exploring more of the various histories and subgenres within like traditional country music, because it's a different kind of group. You know, there's bluegrass, there's the honky tonk style, there's like the Nashville sound era from the 60s, you know, the like country swing out of Texas, and tried to learn little bits everywhere. But especially past few years, like past 5 or 6 years or so, I've become more of a fan of just good songwriters. You know, I've always loved like Kris Kristofferson and Townes Van Zandt, but past like five years or so, been, you know, got into Guy Clark, got into John Prine, sadly no longer with us, and you know, just tried to study the craft of like storytelling and writing a good song from that. And especially now these days where there's so many good songwriters and people making good new music in the Americana scene that's not adhering to, you know, the pop country standards. I think that's why they call it something different. Like guys like Tyler Childers and Jason Isbell and Sturgill Simpson and Brandi Carlile and Margo Price, and just a lot of great people making good new songs these days. And it's, and you know, gives guys like me, and I'm sure Frank, hope as well, that, you know, there's still a market for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, I think the first of the gaggle of artists you just recited there, I think the first one that kind of started that stone rolling, and correct me if I'm wrong, was Shooter Jennings.
Yeah, he was definitely.
I think he was the catalyst.
Early
maybe.
On, yeah. He broke big doing his own thing, certainly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his name carries a lot of weight, but also his style, just he differentiated himself really quickly from what could have been a nice, comfortable career doing, like, safe bets and, you know, hitting the ball off the tee, so to speak.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, play something for us. You got a brand new album that came out just recently. What, was it 6 months?
Yeah, came out in February.
Okay.
And, let's see. I'll do this one. The EP is called Bad Things Happen. It was actually put out through Firetree Records, Mr. Rivoli's label over here.
Oh, there's the connection.
Yeah, and
talk about that.
Mastered by another good local business, Dynaline Mastering. Look them up. There's a song I wrote off of that EP. It's called Illegal. In the hot Southwest desert, they're likely to find families huddled and fleeing, cross an invisible line. A child is screaming, torn from her mother's hands, shipped off to some warehouse somewhere in our promised land. No human is illegal, no life is a crime. The pursuit of being happy, it ain't just your right or mine. They say our land is blessed by God from on high, but no Christian could do this and still sleep at night. We all should be troubled, should be better than this. And if all lives really matter, where's your concern for these kids? But no human is illegal, it don't cost you to care. Don't let the devil distract you with a flag or a prayer. From the Japanese internment to the trail of tears. This ain't some new cruelty. It's lived here for years. It's got to get better. We can all make it right. Not just for the wealthy, and not just for the white. No human is illegal. Years ago or right now. And the worst kind of evil is the kind that good folks allow. No human is illegal. Years ago or right now. And the worst kind of evil is the kind that good folks allow.
All right, James wow. Getta.
Thank you. That's my
Got
song,
goosebumps.
Illegal. Thank you.
That's amazing.
That's good stuff.
That should be like a number one hit.
It should.
I mean,
it might be.
Call the,
right.
You know,
it should be.
Call Biden.
What interests me, James, is with your stuff, and for those that may not be familiar with the first EP and the new one that we're listening to a little bit of tonight, is you are you a history major? Because you seem very steeped in the American history and
No, I'm a creative writing major, which is okay. Kind of where the storytelling comes from and also where my brokenness comes from. But you know, just certain songs, especially when you're going for more like the folk song direction. Mm-hmm. So many songs, you know, folk songs, the best ones take lessons from history, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing that one in particular, I just, you know, not trying to get on a soapbox or anything, but the idea of calling any human being who's just trying to make a better life for themselves illegal has always not sat well with me. You know, the mm-hmm. illegal immigration conversation is a different conversation, but just talking about people with respect. And, right. you know, then I kind of looked back into... thought back into history and, you know, things like I mentioned in the song, like the Japanese
and
internment
the Trail
camps
of Tears
where we took
and, yeah.
American citizens in the wake of the Pearl Harbor bombing and shipped them off, took them from their homes by force, or, you know, the Trail of Tears when, you know, making the Native Americans march across half the country and freeze to death so they could stay in this little square and not right. all the ones that we wanted. You know, it's when the song calls for it, I'll look up examples or details, things like that, or like with my song The Traitor, Hiram McCall, like the
right.
Civil War.
I love that one.
With the Civil War song, I just certain details and specifics I wanted to make sure I wasn't making a fool out of myself with, like, you know, like based certain areas and where mm-hmm. they stood in the Civil War and like what years and things like that. Wanted to make sure I wasn't it's a fictional song
right.
but wanted the history of it to be believable.
But, you know, the first time you played that at the Record Bin, I know a lot of people thought it was a real story.
People tend to,
and started yeah. Googling, who's Hiram McCall? We can't find him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's...
You should make your own website for him.
There you go.
Just direct it back to the song.
I've always, and someday I'm sure I will, want to do like a narrative-style music video for that song. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a very, very straight, like, narrative song, you know, in terms of the events yeah. that happen, I think that'd be cool, like a period piece sort of thing.
You could almost build a mini series off that story.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah, well, if someone wants to buy the rights, HBO, if you're listening, I'll sell
free.
The rights to you.
Yeah.
All right. Frank, what about you? What inspires you to write? And James has a certain darkness to most, I wouldn't say all, but a lot of his
you're
music.
You're scaring me, man.
Yeah.
You have both. You can do a dark song, but you also, you're bubbly.
Yep.
You the shoe song and other things you do, you have fun with it and you make toes tap. And where does it come from for you?
I think it's just my personality, really. I mean, for the most part, I just like to have fun. I mm-hmm. like to be that guy you can go drink a beer with and laugh all night. So to me,
I hate laughter and beer.
I can tell. You're scary.
Not true.
But yeah, I mean, I just like to, for the most part, even if it's song that might be about something sad, mm-hmm. I might even try to write it upbeat, and the meaning behind it is just not like same song and dance that is kind of like a.
It's yeah.
You know,
it can be
up,
either way.
It's upbeat, but it's really me sticking my middle finger up. You know what I mean?
At James.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, so that's it. But I mean, just different things. I mean. If, for example, you mentioned Shoe Corner, it could be a certain area, like even Wells Beach. I wrote a song about Wells Street Beach that we used to hang out at in high school. It could be a story that you told me that kind of impacted me in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
that I write it from either my point of view or your point of view and do it that way. Or it could be just, you know, sad experiences, breakups or
Always fuels everybody, matter what style you are. The romance side always creates good songs.
Yeah, absolutely. Love or breakups. Yeah.
That's right. Get something out of it at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if it becomes a hit. And then you can say, thanks.
Yeah.
It's all meant to be. That exact premise. Maybe I'll play it before the show's over.
Okay, excellent. The recording, you both mentioned Nick Cozonis, and then he's got his fingers on a lot of acoustic artists and a lot of artists in the area. He's gone from being just a performer, because that's disservice to the performers, but he's gone to become much more than a performer.
Mm-hmm.
He is now guiding careers and getting into the tech side, and we're seeing that with a few other people as well. So you guys are taking a lot of control of the situations now and doing it in-house.
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to my opening conversation about rivalries and support groups. It seems like a lot of you have these little packs or tribes of yourselves in which you are supporting each other. And Nick is one of the chiefs, I guess, of that.
Yeah.
Now, you both have background with Nick.
Yeah.
And now, Frank, you have come along and got your own thing going, and obviously you've helped James now. So how did that all come about? What's the connection?
Yeah, so I just I have Firetree Records, which is basically just the business behind my music. So that's how I do.
So it's a like a vanity label to put your own stuff out, but now it's expanding.
But it's my business, yeah. And I've always wanted to help other people out. So luckily, James and I were at the Hobart Art Theater right next to Tom Lunch's record bin in downtown Hobart. Make sure you check it out. And yeah, we were watching
Jericho.
And I think I opened up for her that day. I think I was one of the first ones. But you came out and watched.
Yeah.
And him and I were just having a conversation. And he said, I just came out with the CP, but I need a little help with it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to put them out.
Yeah.
I was talking about like maybe a Kickstarter or raising money or something like that. And Frank's sitting right behind me. We're just talking. He goes, well, how much money do you need?
Yeah.
And, you know, I gave him the figure. And he said, well, let's talk. And, you know, that was the start of it, you know. And instead of me staring, biting my nails off watching a number rise on a Kickstarter for 30 days. You know, I knew Frank would help me out and have the resources I needed for, you know, not the most ambitious project, but I wanted to do it right. And I wanted it done a certain way. And he also had a great head for promotion. We'd meet frequently and talk about like, okay, leading up to it, you're going to want to put the music video out on this day. You're going to put the single out on this day. You're going to want to do a social media post about it on this day, like a calendar.
Yeah,
we had written in.
Whole calendar.
And it helped me.
It's like a battle plan almost.
Yeah, and it was much more to it than I would have thought of myself. You know, in terms of promotion, I can be rather slow or at least unambitious sometimes, you know, and hope the work speaks for itself. But I definitely took a lot from that with Frank helping me out. And I've, you know, learned a great deal from Nick over the years as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, there's so many people out there with so many different skill sets. You know, there's ample opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And all work together. And I mean, one of the things that I'm starting to do now, and Nick and I have been meeting, especially after we did that acoustic EP, I like recording on my own just because I like messing around for hours. Like, I hate the studio time frame.
Right.
I can't do like 2-3 hours because then I'll just start feeling like I'm getting going, getting warm, this idea, and it's like time's up. Not that Nick would do that to me, but it's happened to me working with some other people. So I'm still going to record my own stuff, but Nick's going to then take them and mix them and master them and make them sound a lot better.
Put some fresh ears on it.
Yeah, because I was doing that myself. Not that I know they're not good, but they're not bad. And the only reason I did that is because at the time when I was starting, I was 24, didn't really have the money to go to a big studio. And I just kept listening to video after video about, don't worry about your quality. Your quality's in your music. So if it sounds decent, get it out there. Get it out there. So that was really my premise behind everything I've come out with up to now. Hopefully the song speaks for itself, and hopefully the mixing and mastering is decent enough where it's listenable, which I think it has been. I've gotten good reviews.
When is the next album coming out?
So hopefully Mundy and I's acoustic session comes out at the end of next month. That's okay. what I'm hoping for. And then starting next
year. Are you
year,
close to being done? Because you said you don't want to waste time on it, but you're trying to get those last few hours together with him.
Yeah.
So is it that close that in a few more hours you might have it done?
If we're able to do, yeah, if we're able okay. to do that, those extra videos. The project's done. The music's done. Okay. The music and the music videos are done.
Now it's the battle plan.
Yeah. Now it's okay. whether or not him and I could get an hour together, which I'm sure we can, and, make some laughs and some videos yeah. and then, put it together, market it. And, as James was saying, I really enjoy marketing. So I'll right. start coming up with stuff pretty quick on that. But
so are you going to build a stable? I mean, it sounds like James is your first project outside of your own music.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of cool. I mean, like you mentioned, yeah. the Kickstarter stuff. It's great when people believe in you enough or like you enough to put some money in. Here's five, here's 10.
Yeah.
But to have a peer
yeah.
say, I believe in your music.
Yeah, it was.
And then to say, I want to get behind it. Yeah. Instead of being the rivals or being whatever, here's a guy that's sitting behind you in the theater and you guys start talking and he likes your music enough mm-hmm. to say, I'm going to put mine to the side for 5 minutes and work with you and yeah. then we're going to do this together.
Yeah.
It was... And I think that's kind of a cool, dynamic and a cool scenario.
I love his songs. I love his music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's a breath of fresh air from what you normally hear.
Right.
So well, thank you.
Hey, no, likewise, thank you. Man. But, hey, I'm here to make you tap your toe. You're here to tell us stories.
Make us cry. Yeah. Yeah.
But, no, it was, like you said, getting that vote of confidence from mm-hmm. from a peer, and someone who I enjoy and whose music I respect to just say, no, I'll take care of it. Just tell me what you need.
Right.
Was, one, a big weight off of my shoulders from having to kind of share the burden. And, also, to be able to bounce promotional ideas off of and learn things and have kind of a back and forth. It was a really positive experience. Fire Tree Records, based out of Crown Point. Thanks, get a hold buddy. Of Mr. Rivoli.
All right. How do people follow you, respectively? What's your websites?
FrankRivoliMusic.com, Rivoli, R-U-V as in Victor, O-L-I, Frank Rivoli Music on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. JamesGettaMusic.com, Getta, G-E-D-D-A, and then JamesGettaMusic on Facebook and JamesGetta on Instagram.
Okay. We are actually down to about 20 minutes already. Woo! I want to get another song out of each
fun.
Of you. So,
time flies, yeah.
Frank, what do you want to play?
So do you want me to try out a song I literally just wrote?
It's yeah. your platform here.
I kind of want to because it's a little – it's not a country song, but I wrote it after watching Garth Brooks' documentary.
Okay. Wow.
And it's actually based off of something that I don't know if you told me mm-hmm. or maybe Nate Venturelli.
Okay.
Or somebody.
We're very similar.
Well, no, but I mean, Nate. in your comments about going south and
okay.
playing.
Okay, yeah.
So, speaking of which, this song and the last song I played, the bridges really aren't done, and mm-hmm. the second verse of this song isn't done, but I'm going to make something up anyway. That's what I do on stage half the time.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything. But here's what this is, and hopefully I can, I know the chorus, I just got to remember the verses. So what this is... Basically, like I said, I can't remember if it's him or who it was, but they said somebody. And maybe it was, for those of you in Nashville, it was not James Getta. He loves you guys, and you guys need to accept him. But somebody told me, they said when they go down to Nashville or they go down south, wherever, they say, where are you from? And they say, oh, we're from Northwest Indiana by Chicago. And everybody says, that's not country. What do you mean? So I wrote a song called You Can't Say This Ain't Country.
Yeah.
And it's basically about... We're from Northwest Indiana, which is growing now, but mm-hmm.
plenty of cornfields and farmers here. So
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I mean, St. John was still right. kind of rural.
Yeah, probably got more cornfields than Nashville.
Yeah. So, and I'm actually playing this a little different than what I wrote it, but we'll see how it goes. So, can't say it's not country is what it's called. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Hopefully all you guys just record this for me. We have 1,000 versions of this. Grew up in Indiana, they call me a region rat, but it ain't the city. I got cut off sleeves and a backwards hat, but every time I go a little bit south, they call me a northern boy. And they say I don't know what it really means to have a few of that country joy. From sea to lake to low, just about everywhere we go, we got farms and open roads. You can't say that it's not country. We wear our boots to work, we ain't afraid to dig dirt. My baby, she wears a Willie Nelson t-shirt. Oh, you can't say that it's not country. Oh, yeah. See, I gotta remember the words. We drink beer on the bonfire, sitting on the tailgates of our truck. Oh, yeah, you know why. 'Cause we love those late nights. And when I see my little sweet lady, I say, come here, baby. And I kiss her like a southern gent. When we dance under the stars listening to, what's a good song to listen to on that? James Guetta, yeah. From sea to lake to low, just about everywhere we go, we got arms and open roads. Hey, you can't say that it's not country. We wear our boots to work, we ain't afraid to dig dirt. My baby wears a Willie Nelson t-shirt. Oh, hey, you can't say that it's not country, yeah. I'll skip the bridge because I'm going to have to make something up. So we'll just do it one more time. Ready, James? You want to sing with me? From sea to lake to low, talk about everywhere we go. We got farms and open roads. You can't say that it's not country. You wear our boots to work, we ain't afraid to dig dirt. My baby wears a James Guetta t-shirt. That's weird. Hey, you can't say that it's not country.
You paid for those t-shirts.
I did pay for those t-shirts. I got everybody wearing them. Hey, you can't say that it's not country, yeah. So obviously that song's not done, but we had some fun with it.
That's fun, yeah. Like
Frank Rivoli, the toe tapper of the crowd here. While you were playing that, James was rocking. I'm tapping both feet.
Yeah.
Sharon's over here bobbing her head. It's happy music.
Frank, that's more country than anything I've written. More like contemporary, at least. Yeah. That's a good song.
That is a very good song.
That's great.
So, and that goes back to Shoe Corner, Wall Street Beach. I say from Cedar Lake to Lowell. I just think it's something that I was talking about before with somebody that, Bruce Springsteen, when he was getting started, he was always mentioning stuff about
his hometown, Asbury Park, whatever. Yeah.
So I think that's cool. People Thunder get behind Road. That. You know what we're talking
they
about.
They love that local stamp.
They do that. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. We were talking about how things have evolved. Mm-hmm. There were some bands out of this area that did rather well. Mm-hmm. But yet when they get to that certain level, we're from Chicago.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're from south of, Kankakee or whatever. Or you're at least from the south side, or you're from Griffith, or you're from somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I respected all the time about John Mellencamp is he said, I'm from Seymour, Indiana. It's a podunk little town, but it's my town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm glad to see you putting local landmarks in, and a lot more artists are doing that now. Yeah. Because you got to take your pride in where you're from, or the others that follow you will never get there.
Right.
You have to build that ladder, build that bridge to do that. So thank you for that, and everybody that does that now, because that was the biggest pet peeve of mine for years. We get someone that I'd support in the paper for 10 years, and they finally get it, and they get somewhere, and we're from Chicago. Really?
Yeah.
You know what, and I'm with you on that, because when I started, I was trying to write emails and letters and instant messages of people who I knew were from here that were in LA or Nashville or whatever, never got a response. Like, come on. You were here once.
You were here.
Yeah. Like, just respond to me, please.
That's
just respond
crazy.
To me.
Yeah. Now, you're both playing shows coming up. This Thursday, we've got...
Who do we got, Tom?
Wow, I'm having an age brain fart here.
On Thursday?
Got issues. Got issues,
yeah.
Thank you.
Not got brain fart, but got issues.
Well, you see, some of the guys are in the Relics, too, so I get them confused. It's like, which band is it?
Mm-hmm.
Got Issues will be playing, and Frank, you're going to be playing with them. So that's this Thursday.
Opening up.
At the Bulldog Park, beautiful facility, your hometown now, and everybody loves you. And I think I told you the story where someone had said, well, what's wrong with Frank Rivoli? I said, what do you mean? It's like, well, why do you have issues with him? I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, on the note paper that you have in front of you, it says, got issues with Frank Rivoli. And I said, no, it's got issues with Frank Rivoli, a double bill. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that makes sense then. But they were like, what'd Frank do to you?
Yeah.
You could write a song about that.
I'm
that
sure
was
that
hysterical.
Band hates those jokes, boy.
But that's this Thursday. It's part of the Crown Point Weekly Cruise Night. So get there early. It's 4 o'clock. You go out about 4:15. Do about an hour, and then God Issues comes up and does their show. James, a week later, Melon Cougar's in town, and you're going to be opening for them, doing your acoustic thing. I think it's very cool that we're able to have this, again, these great facilities. You were talking, Sharon, about Valpo and Crown Point, catching up to Chicago. Crown Point, you know, Mayor Tom started it with Wolf Lake and the pavilion there, and then Valpo built theirs. And now Crown Point's got theirs. And I think Mayor Uran's really learned from the other two because the sound at Bulldog Park is the best of the three and the best I've ever had as far as an outdoor show.
Yeah.
Could use a little more parking in the back. Yeah. But other than that, I think it's perfect. Yeah. So you've played there, Frank.
Yeah.
And what do you think of it as a performer?
I love it. I love it, especially because I know everybody around the square. I'm on the square all the time anyway, so I can just walk right
there. You're that popular guy that everybody knows.
That's why I play fun music. I'm the guy you drink a beer with. Yeah. You know what I would like? I love the outdoor facilities, and now that we're getting those around the area, I'd like to see more refurbished theaters, like the Hobart Art Theater and that stuff. I mean, even if they're – I know there's some smaller ones that really aren't used anymore. I mean, those would just be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is something, once we can get through COVID, you know, I started doing theater shows. I started doing outdoor. Now we're doing theater shows, and now that I finally got my foot in the door there with theaters, now that stops.
Yeah.
But
there was the whole, we don't got to get all the way into it, but the whole mess around reopening the Crown Theater and remodeling it.
There's a few good venues around here, and I almost actually invested with a partner in the Highland Theater at one time.
Okay.
Nice.
Which, thank God I didn't, because it was full of mold and asbestos and all that other fun stuff, and they wound up having to take it down after spending an ungodly amount of money. So you got to be careful what you do, because even though it's old doesn't mean it's good. Just like records. Oh, it's old. It's got to be worth $1 million. No, it's got, you know, scratches 3 gauges thick. But so you guys are both going to be playing there. James, have you played there?
Yeah. Last year I played with Nate Venturelli.
That's right.
Before,
we did a double bill thing with you guys.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the main event was real Bakersfield sounding country shuffle band.
Nelson in Hazard County.
Yeah, Hazard County.
That's right.
Yeah, that was great.
Well,
it's a great place, yeah.
We've got about 8 minutes.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have you play another song for us, and we're going to come back before we say goodbye and give the websites out again and any other dates you've got coming up or anything you got to talk about real quick to let people know what you're doing.
Okay.
So, James, what do you want to play?
I'll play this one. This is a song called Never Play the Ryman, and I just put a video out of this one being accompanied by my good buddy Stefan Jude of Fresh Hops, turning his violin into a fiddle for me on that one. You can find it on my Facebook, my YouTube. Just search for James Guetta.
So James Guetta on YouTube, and you'll find this?
Yeah. YouTube.com/James Guetta.
Never Played the Ryman?
Never Play the Ryman.
Okay.
And this is a song about the days when the dream seems further away than it usually does. Had a packed house of 7 at last night's show. My calendar for the next month's full of holes. I got $1 million voice, so I've been told. I won't be playing with the band for a little bit. They're making better money with their own gigs. All my other friends are buying houses from Frank Rivoli and having kids.
Not having kids with me, though.
I'll never play the Ryman, I'll just sing for tips and drinks. I may never make the big time like my grandma used to think. I may never play for thousands on some big old stage. But I'll be damned if I ever act my age. I dream big while living small. Short on gigs, gotta make some calls. A lonely fail if I don't try it. A lonely live till I die. A lonely live till I die. got a girl who does me right more than wrong. Her love makes a weak man feel strong. One of these days I'll put her in a song. Could you tell me where a fella might grab a beer? Play guitar and sing and shed a tear. Maybe next year will be my year. No, I'll never play the rhyme, and I'll just sing for tips and drinks. And I may never make the big time like my grandma used to think. And I may never play for thousands on some big old stage. But I'll be damned if I ever act my age. 'Cause I dream big while living small. I'm short on gigs, gotta make some calls. I'll only fail if I don't try it. I'll only live till I die. I'll only live till I die.
Yeah.
James Guetta.
Thank you. Never play the Ryman.
I don't know. I think maybe you will.
Yeah, that's kind of reverse psychology I'm going for.
There you go. Guetta is G-E-D-D-A. You can look him up on YouTube and just Google that name, James Guetta, and you'll find him on a variety of social media. There are so many out there now to keep you guys caught up on. Frank Rivoli is R-U-V-O-L-I, and if you do need a house, by the way,
yeah,
that's what you do for a living.
Yeah.
So I like that for music. For those that that didn't catch that, yeah, you know, that made them said, well, why'd he say that? Buying a house from Frank Rivoli. So
I think everybody
there you
caught
go.
The having kids part.
Yeah.
buying houses from Frank Rivoli, having kids. Not having kids with me, they're just buying houses.
Oh, okay. we have about 4 minutes left. Let's give out some websites and stuff again, and let's talk about where else you're playing. Of course, Frank is going to be at the Bulldog this Thursday in just 2 days. James will be there a week from Thursday, and get there early at 4 o'clock because you don't want to miss these guys. And as much as I know people like to hear cover songs, on my shows you're always welcome to play your originals, so play good. As many as you want.
Awesome.
Going on record here, we support local original music on everything I do, and Lakeshore Public Radio, that's what it's all about. Another reason why you should pledge a little later, Sharon will tell you more about that as we say goodbye, but where else are you guys playing?
So I am going to be, as Tom said, Bulldog Park Thursday, 4:15 start.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blue Point in Valpo at 8 o'clock on Friday. Then next Friday, I will be at Radius in Valpo starting at 8. Then I'm playing a private gig on Saturday. And Anderson's Winery in Valparaiso that next Sunday from 2 to 5.
That's a great place to play.
I love
play.
That place. I'm there
Anderson
once
is,
a month. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one of those places. It's got the it's the other side of the brewery. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of thing. The wineries are coming on strong.
Yeah,
so.
That's a nice one. They supported us, too.
Yeah, they were here with Chef Nick, too.
Yeah.
We've had them here.
We've had our Christmas
and they brought wine.
Yeah.
And it was good wine.
That was nice.
It was good wine because I don't remember much about it,
we
so therefore
that.
It was good. James, where are you playing?
So next Thursday at Bulldog Park, that's going to be same start time, like 4:15.
4:15,
so.
Yep.
Yeah, and then well, this Saturday, I'm going to be with my band, James Guetta and the Big Breakfast, out in Peru, Illinois.
At Denny's.
As part of their Wine on the Hill series through August Hill Winery.
Okay.
That's a bit of a drive out, but if you happen to be out that way, it's like $10 per car or something. I posted about it. Next Saturday, I'm going to be hosting an open mic at One Best Life at Tinker's Attic in Highland. Then next Sunday, the day after that, the 27th, I'm resuming my Songwriter Sunday series at One Best Life at Tinker's Attic, kind of a songwriter open mic where I play for an hour or so. Then anybody else that wants to share original music is open to.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what I got on the books right now.
Maybe I'll come and throw down there with you.
You should.
All right. This is Midwest Beat. Hey, don't forget this Friday, we do the afternoon edition. And this Friday, I've got a legend, to say the least, Mr. Noddy Holder, the founder of Slade, the guys that gave us Come On, Feel the Noise, and all those wonderful songs, Mama, We're Not, or We're All Crazy Now, that Quiet Riot built their career on. Noddy will be here, the guy behind it. We'll also have a young up-and-coming guy that is going to join us. He is a country blues guy with an emphasis on blues, and his name is Jeremy Edge, and his new album comes out on Friday. So join us. That's from 1 to 3, Midwest Beat, right here at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Stick around for your headlines.